الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله، إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، in continuation from what we did last week, as relates to the sharh of Umdat al-Ahkam, and from the sharh of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, and from Taysir al-Alam, other explanations like al-I'lam from Ibn Mulaqqin, we'll proceed inshallah ta'ala. But before we go into the second hadith of the bab and the third hadith, because inshallah ta'ala today we'll deal with the second hadith and the third hadith in Umdat al-Ahkam of this amazing collection of hadith of fiqh from Bukhari and Muslim. We continue inshallah with the second hadith of in Umdat al-Ahkam. And Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yaqbalu Allah salata ahadikum idha ahdatha hatta yatawadda. La yaqbalu Allah salata ahadikum إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, the authority of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that none of you's salah is accepted once he loses his wudu until he makes wudu. Not until he makes wudu. So if he loses his wudu, it's not accepted until he makes wudu, until he makes purification. And this hadith is from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. We're going to deal with this hadith and the next hadith after this, inshallah ta'ala. And we're going to deal with this hadith in a few angles. As we do, we'll start off with the narrator of this hadith. And the narrator of this hadith is Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he's Abu Hurairah. His name is Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi. His name
إذا أحدث. نعم تفضل بارك الله فيك.
إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ.
نعم بارك الله فيكم.
أحدث حتى يتوضأ. We'll go into the explanation of أحدث in a minute, inshallah. As for Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he's the narrator of this hadith. His name is Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi. The ulama, they differed as it relates to his name. Some of the ulama, they said that his name was Abdullah. Others said that his name was Abdul Rahman. And others have mentioned that his name in Jahiliyyah was Abdulahim. But the correct opinion as it relates to Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his name is Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi. His name is Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi. And he became Muslim in the year of Khaybah. In the year of the Battle of Khaybah, he became Muslim, radiallahu anhu, and you know he stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for approximately 2 years. It said that he stayed close with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for approximately 2 years, taking knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his actions, his statements sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he kept and paid close attention to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam attested for his hirs and his enthusiasm in seeking hadith. He attested for me regards to his hirs and his enthusiasm on seeking hadith. And Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'anhu, he said, as relates to Abi Hurairah, he said, "Kunta alzamuna li Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa alamuna bi hadithihi na'am." He said that very you're the most, Abu Hurairah. He said, Abdullah ibn Umar said that, yeah, Abu Hurairah, you are the most as clinging to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, seeking to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam from amongst us, and you are the most knowledgeable of the hadith. You are the most knowledgeable of the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from amongst us. So he's considered as the muhaddithin, from the muhaddithin and the mukthirin, and from those who narrated a lot from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, "Kana Abu Huraira ahfaz man rawa al hadith fi asrihi." Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that Abu Huraira was from the ones that preserved most of the, he's the one that preserved most of the narrations in his time. He's the one that preserved most of the narrations in his time. And the people of knowledge have compiled his hadith and the narrations that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has narrated, and I said it's approximately 5,374 narrations. 5,374 narrations, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he died in the year 57, and he died in Medina. He died in Medina, and he's from the ulama of hadith. There isn't a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that narrated more narrations than Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and he spent a short time and period with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's one of the younger of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yet he compiled a lot of the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a sign for us of the need of enthusiasm in seeking the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sheikh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, he puts a title on this hadith. He puts a title on this hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that none of your salah is accepted if you lose wudu until you do ablution. Ibn Uthaymeen said that mawdu al hadith bayanu hukmi salah biduni wudu, and the topic of this hadith is the ruling of one salah without wudu. The ruling of one salah without wudu. And we're going to now go to some of the explanations or the shuruh of the kalimat and the wordings of this hadith. And the wordings of this hadith. Sheikh Muthaymeen says, لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهِ يعني لَا يَقْبَلُ, and it's not accepted. He said, Allah is not pleased with. Allah is not pleased with, Allah does not accept. Allah does not accept. And the ulama of Nahu and the ulama of the Arabic language, they've showed that when you say, here in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used la anafia. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used la anafia. He didn't use he used la of negation. He didn't use it as a prohibition directly. He used it as a negation. He said it won't be accepted. He didn't say it wasn't a command, direct command or direct prohibition. And the ulama of Nahu and the Lugha, they said this is more severe. This is more severe. It's showing the result of the action. A, it's not accepted. It's not actually the Prophet saying don't do this or don't do that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying it won't be accepted. And this is more severe and more ashad fi balagha. And the ulama said it is more ashad fi balagha. And the Shaykh Muthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he went and he explained the meaning of salah. He explained the meaning of salah. And as we know, he said, إِبَعَتُ ذَاتِ الْأَقْوَالُ وَأَفْعَالُ مَخْصُوصَ أَوَّلُهَا التَّكْبِيرُ وَآخِرُهَا التَّسْلِيمُ إِبَعَتُ ذَاتِ الْأَقْوَالِ وَأَفْعَالُ مَخْصُوصَ أَوَّلُهَا التَّكْبِيرُ وَآخِرُهَا التَّسْلِيمُ. He said, it's that type of worship, that comprises statements and actions, specific statements. Is that type of worship that comprises specific statements and actions, where the beginning of it is takbir. The beginning of it is where you say Allahu Akbar, and the end of it is where you say a taslim. This is the definition of salah, according to the ulama of fiqh. This is the definition of a salah. And as for the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ahdatha, hadath, the ulama have explained the meaning of hadath. And I said it's losing wudu. Hadath, we have two different types of hadath. And that is hadath al-akbar and hadath al-asghar. Hadath akbar and that's hadath al-asghar. Hadath al-akbar is that type of issue that negates your wudu. That type of issue or thing that negates your wudu. And this is akbar, such as having ejaculation or having sexual intercourse, or for sisters being or female being on her menstrual cycle, or a postnatal period for the woman. These are considered hadath al-akbar. So a prayer is not accepted from anyone who is in this state, hadath al-akbar. And that is the greater or the major things that negate your wudu. And hadath, the second category is hadath al-asghar, and that is the minor things that negate your wudu, but nevertheless they still negate your wudu. And that is ma kharaja min sabilain wal kharij min ahad sabilain. And he said those are those things that exit from the two parts of the body, as it relates to urinating and feces and so forth. So this is the hadith al-asghar. This is the hadith al-asghar. Ma kharaja min sabilain. Yani ma huwa al-kharij min ahad sabilain. So for example, if anybody urinates or anybody uses the toilet and with feces and so forth, then this is the hadith al-asghar. And both hadith al-asghar and hadith al-akbar are implied in this hadith. The next definition that the ulama have mentioned that's in this hadith is حَتَّى يَتَوَضَّعَ, until he does wudu. And Ibn Mulaqin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that hadith is al-nadhafa. Al-wudu is al-nadhafa. He said that wudu is al-nadhafa. So wudu is cleanliness. Is the act of cleanliness. Wudu is the act of what? Cleanliness. And we have, in the Arabic language, we have wudu and we have wadu. That's wudu and we have wadu. Wudu with the dhamma is the act of ablution. Wudu is the act of ablution. And wadu with fatha on the waw, wadu with fatha on the waw, this is the actual thing that's used to gain ablution, i.e. the water. This thing that is used to gain ablution, i.e. the water. Which brings me to the first fiqh issue that we're going to deal with as it relates to this hadith or some things related to the hadith. As wadu is that water which is used in order to perform ablution, or that which is used in general, to perform ablution, it is befitting that we talk about water. Now the ulama have defined or have said that water is either three categories or two categories, which I'm sure you're aware of. Three different types of water or two different types of water. Some of the ulama have said that there's three types and others have said there's two. The Hanabila say that there's three types. Most of the Hanabila, they say there's three types, and other ulama have said there are two. The three types that the Hanabila have said that are the categories of water are tahir, or shall I say, start off with tahur, is what? Water that is tahur. And tahur is that pure water that is pure in itself and purifies other things. So tahur is that water that is pure in itself and it purifies other things. That's number one. The second one is tahir. Ma'a tahir. And that is pure. It's pure. They say this category is a water that is pure in itself, but it doesn't purify other things. It's pure in itself, but it doesn't purify other things like orange juice and like fizzy drinks and like tea and so forth. And the third category is, they say, is najis. And that's water that is najis. They say the ulama have categorized it as anything that impure that has infiltrated or gone in the water to change its state. So it changes its state from being pure to impure. So this is water that's impure. The ulama who say that water is only two categories, they say that it's water that is what? Tahur, pure in itself and purifies others. And water that is what? Najis, and water that is impure. What is the correct opinion? Shaykh Ibn Thaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Shar Mumti', he explains that the best opinion is that it's in two categories. And that is the correct opinion. That is in two categories. Why? Because the ulama of Hanabila, again showing Shaykh Ibn Thaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, not agreeing with the aspect, an issue related to the Hanabila. Why? Because the Hujjah, because of the proofs. Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that water, because the mode of contention between the ulama is Ma'at Tahir, and that is that water which is pure in itself but doesn't purify. That water that is pure in itself but doesn't purify. Now, Shaykh Uthaymeen and other than him, rahimahullah ta'ala, have stated that which is pure in itself and doesn't purify, like water, like tea, and like orange juice, and like apple juice, and so forth, is no longer water. It's apple juice. It's no longer water. It's pure, yes, but it's no longer water now. It's apple juice. So it's not considered water. So it's not in the discussion in the first place. It's not in the discussion in the first place. So therefore, the only thing that we can say is that there's ma tahur, and that's water that's pure in itself and purifies, and ma najis, and that's water that is impure and doesn't purify. This is the categories of water as it relates. This is a summary of the issue as it relates to the categories of water. Now, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا يقبل From the benefits of this hadith, we go to the benefits of this hadith, or should we say the general meaning of this hadith? The general meaning of this hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الَّذِي لَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who does not speak from his desires, but rather it's a revelation revealed to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this sunnah, this hadith. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that anyone who wants to pray, anyone who wants to do salah, if he is not upon the state of wudu, or if something has come and changed his state of wudu, it is not accepted. That salah, it is not accepted until they do ablution. This is the general meaning of this hadith. And
sorry, Akhi Awais, barakallahu fikum.
Fikum, barakallahu.
Sorry for cutting you, Akhi. The brother is asking, can you repeat again, barakallahu fikum?
Okay. That the general meaning of this hadith, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that whoever wants to do salah, whoever wants to perform salah, that he can only perform this salah if he has ablution. He can only perform this salah if he has what? Ablution. And if he loses wudu, whether it is from hadith al-akbar or hadith al-asghar, it is not accepted, that prayer is not accepted until he does his wudu, until he does his ablution. That's the general meaning of this hadith. That's the general meaning of this hadith. And Sheikh Ibn Thaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he shows that this shows the importance of salah and the sha'an and the status of salah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that its salah is from that the most virtuous of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this salah is the most virtuous of those things that one takes and does to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith shows the importance of this salah, and that this is the connection between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his slaves. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it that it's impermissible for anyone to do an ibadah, this amazing worship, which is a salah. It is impermissible for anyone to do this except upon tahara. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased. It's not pleased with the salah of the slave. And he's not going to reward the one who does this salah if he has lost his wudu and he hasn't done ablution. It will not be accepted until he does his wudu and does his ablution. So the ulama have explained la yaqbal, that Allah is not pleased with. And as we know from the definition of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah of ibadah, rahimahullah ta'ala, is ismu jami'un li kulli ma yuhibbuhu Allah wa yadda min aqwalin wa af'alin zahira wa batina. Is that all comprehensive term for that which Allah loves and Allah is pleased with? Allah loves and Allah is pleased with from action statements that are apparent and that which is concealed. So worship is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with one that the act of praying and not or praying upon the state of not having wudu, upon the state of not having ablution. So therefore it's not accepted and it's not rewarded, which shows the amazing definition of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala for al-ibadah. Naam. The benefits of this hadith is, number one, أَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ مِنْهَا مَقْبُولُ وَمِنْهَا مَرْدُودُ. And that salah, from this hadith, we understand that salah, not just because when somebody prays, it doesn't mean it's accepted. Just because somebody prays, it doesn't mean it's accepted, because we have some salah that's accepted and some salah that's not accepted. And that which is upon, subhanAllah, that which is upon the accordance to the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which is accepted. That salah that is according to the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which is accepted. And this is the benefit from this hadith. As that which is according to the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the salah must be done by somebody who is upon wudu. The abd, the slave, must be upon wudu. So if one does salah or claims to do salah and it's against the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not accepted. That's the benefit from this hadith. And it's taken and it works in collaboration with the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the hadith of Aisha radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man 'amila 'amalan laysa 'alayhi amruna fa huwa rad." That whoever does an action that is not from our affair, then it is rejected. Which is why some of the ulama mentioned this hadith of Aisha has been one of the narrations that Islam revolves around. Because it's incorporated in a lot of abwab, just like in the Malakmalu bin Niyat. It's incorporated in fiqh. And that is that whoever does an action that is not from this deen, is not from the conditions that this deen have placed, is not from the legislation of this deen, then it's not accepted. And from those is one doing salah without wudu. It's not accepted. It's mardood. Rejected. Number two, Shaykh Ibn Thaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he said the second benefit is أن الصلاة فرضها ونفلها حتى الصلاة جنازة لا تقبل إذا صلاها المحدث أو محدث ولو كان ناسيا حتى يتوضأ وكذلك الجنب إذا صلى قبل أن يغتسل. Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that in this hadith there's a benefit, and that is that no matter which salah one does, no matter which salah one does, whether it's salah that is obligatory or whether it's salah that is supplementary, the nawafil, or whether it's janazah, or whether it's janazah, that it's not accepted. It's not accepted if the individual who prays her has lost his wudu. Even if he forgets, he has to go and do wudu. And that's like the one who does his salah when he's junub, when he is in a state of janaba, after ejaculation, or after a wet dream, or after sexual relation. It's not accepted until he does ghusl. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يقبل صلاة أحدكم نكرة. صلاة أحدكم. Is a نكرة في سياق النفي. Is نكرة في سياق النفي. It's one of the قواعد of أصول. It's a نكرة, which is a general indefinite form. The word salah is used here in indefinite form in the state of negation. Meaning every type of salah, whether it be salatul janazah, whether it be salatul fard, or salatul nafl, whether it's the obligatory salah, or the non-obligatory salah, or whether it's a state of not having wudu, or whether it's a state of being junub, all of this is not accepted if the individual is not upon tahara. The individual does not have wudu. Why? Because of this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, less salata ahadikum, yani nakira fi siyaq an-nafi, nakira fi siyaq an-nafi. The Shaykh then said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the salah of an individual who has lost wudu is haram. That act is haram. It's in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If an individual knows that he doesn't have wudu and he prays, he knows that he's lost wudu and he prays, this is haram. This is haram until he makes wudu. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala la yaqbalaha. La yaqbaluha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept that salah. And as we mentioned, the meaning of la yaqbaluha is what? And I'm sure that you say, Allah is not pleased with it. Allah is not pleased with it. وَتَقَرُّ بِلَى اللَّهِ بِمَا لَا يَقْبَلُهُ مُحَادَةً لَهُ وَنَوْمِنَ الْإِسْتِهْزَاءِ. And to try, and Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, and to try to get close with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking liberties, as we would say. It's taking liberties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to try and get close with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in something that he doesn't accept, with something that he's not pleased with something that he rejects, whether it be bid'ah, whether it be riya, or whether it be things such as not having wudu when salah. To do this act of ibadah, salah, for example, to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is liberties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's taking liberties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.